my technology partner. I screwed up last time I preached and didn't hit a right button on the recorder, so Matt's got us up and running. Hey, good morning. This is a pretty cool Sunday to preach. Okay? This is Jesus coming into the city. And I titled the message, Enter Into His Kingdom with Triumph. Guys, I'll start with this. Morgan's softball team that I coach, started yesterday for our season. And we haven't played softball for 2 years. So it was pretty cool. These girls were like pretty fired up. And I only have 3 seniors. Then I have 4 freshmen, 4 sophomores, and 3 juniors. I must have 5 freshmen. So I didn't know what to expect. In a couple scrimmages we had, these freshmen, I have 2 professional hitters in the freshman class. And then I have 3 that were just scared to death. But then I got to thinking, these sophomores don't have any experience either because they lost the whole year. And my 3 juniors, when they were freshmen, played JV. So I have 3 girls with varsity experience, and I wasn't sure how this was going to go. But yes, well, Friday night, I'll take you back to that. I got to the school about 4:30, and our field is like a pond. I'm like, oh boy, how are we going to play? And Mansfield Senior had already said, there's no way we can play. So, and then the baseball coach said, hey, you only got to play on this field for this year, then you're getting a new one. He said, so who cares what you do to it? Get the field drained. Okay, good point. So I went out and trenched some water out to the outfield, and I dug holes about this big. And after the girls took batting practice in the cage, I gave them little styrofoam bowls and 5-gallon buckets, and they dumped water because I told them this is the only way we're going to get to play. Well, then about an hour and a half into dumping water, I don't know, they probably moved 75 5-gallon buckets of water. I had a parent call me and say, hey, I got a submersible pump. You want me to bring it out tonight and work on the field? Sure. Anyway, long story short, these girls went through that battle. I had them come in at 9:30 yesterday morning because I wasn't sure what we were going to have to do on the field. We didn't play till 1. And there was just this calmness yesterday. And it was pretty cool. These girls were so excited about playing, but they held it together. And you know, I've coached quite a bit. That was my first varsity actual games. And these girls come out and score 28 runs in the first game and win 28-3. But it gets better. They score 33 in the second game. And I was just like, now, that's a Division I school. They're not very good. Okay. But I was so proud of those girls because they came out triumphantly and played with enthusiasm I didn't know we had. So that was cool. That was cool. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and on this Palm Sunday, the Sunday before your resurrection, Lord, I just look to you and take me out of the equation. Give me the words to speak. Use me as your mouthpiece this morning, Lord. And just give everybody what they need to get out of today's message. Make that loud and clear. In your name I pray. Amen. So being that next Sunday's Easter, and I don't get to preach on Easter, I do have a quick little story. I thought this was pretty neat. It really has nothing to do with... Well, it does have something to do with Easter. So I woke up and my dog is laying on the back patio, covered in dirt, with a rabbit in his mouth. The rabbit's not bloody, just dirty. My neighbor's kids raised blue ribbon rabbits. I instantly knew it was one of theirs. I took the rabbit away from my dog, rushed inside, washed all the dirt off of it before my neighbors could come home. It was stiff, but I heard some animals play dead when they are afraid, but I couldn't remember which ones. I took it and placed it back in one of the cages in their backyard. Then I zoomed back home. And then in parentheses it says, don't judge me. Not 30 minutes later, I hear my neighbors screaming, so I go out and I ask them what's wrong. They tell me their rabbit died 3 days ago and they buried it, but now it's back in the cage. So as we head into Easter, can you imagine the surprise? I'm not going to go into that. That's for next week. But that was pretty cool. I thought it was funny. Today I'm going to use John, and we're going to be in chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 1 through. But first I want to go, that's the passage I want to use as the main passage, but I also want to use, the Gospels are great because they all have a different perspective on this story. So I'm going to go, we're going to start in Matthew today. We're going to use Matthew 21. through 11. And I'm just going to read this briefly. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and they will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So what I want you to take from what Matthew says is I want you to take this. Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew what was coming, and he did it anyway. Now, I don't know if anybody watches, there's a TV series called Yellowstone. Anybody seen any of it? It's good. A lot of the language in it is terrible, but it's a guy that owns all this land out by Yellowstone National Park. And Kevin Costner is the main character in it. And they get a guy that they kind of rescue from his life. He's a troubled teen. And they bring him into the ranch as a farmhand. And one of the first things he does, other than clean out stalls, is they duct tie him to a bucking bronco, a wild horse, so that they can break this horse. And, man, he rides it for hours. He can't walk when he gets off, whatever. I don't know how long he rode it. But he can't walk when he gets off. But the story that I want you to concentrate on is Jesus did not have to be duct tied to this donkey. I'm telling you right now, if I was Jesus, I would have went the other way. I'd have sent those two disciples to get the donkey and then I'd have trucked. I'm not leading into that. Thank goodness God had a better plan. Okay? So take heart in the fact that Jesus not only knew the plan, but he instigated the whole thing. I want you to understand, Jesus was in charge of this. It wasn't some accident he ended up where he ended up. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Guys, these people were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a king. Now, when he came in, what did all the people think was going to happen? I think at that point still, the people still thought, oh, Jesus is coming. Guess what's going to happen? We're going to overthrow this government and Jesus is going to be in charge. Wasn't the plan. That was not the plan. Okay, also, and you can write these down. That's Matthew 21, 1 through 11. Mark 11. Chapter 11. It's funny when you're preparing a message. God told me to use John, and then the first thing I read is footnotes. It takes me back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. That was pretty cool. But again, the same thing happens in Mark 11. Same exact thing, maybe a different word, so we're not going to read it. Then Luke 19, 28 through 44. Take all notes. Take those notes down and go look at those and look at the differences between the languages, or the, not the languages, they all spoke the same language, but look at the different way of writing that these guys had. Because there's things that were left out in Matthew that are expanded on in Luke. There's things that are a little bit different in each one, but it's still the same. And we are going to John. Of course, I lost my place. Understand that Jesus had been out preaching. He'd been out preaching. He'd been out performing miracles. Guys, people knew who Jesus was. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd. We know that some people just wanted to get close enough to touch his cloak because they knew they would be healed. This guy had a lot of power. Could have had a lot more power if he wanted it. So we're in John chapter 12. And I'm going to go back at verse 1. And mine says, Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. How cool would that be? You know, Jesus was in your house at one point. Well, he raised you from the dead. You were dead! Guys, you were dead. Jesus raised you from the dead. And then as he's coming into the city to be what we know was crucified eventually, he stops and has a meal with you. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Not a towel. Not a cloth, her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, after I've been out a day, there ain't none of my girls touching my feet. Let alone to pour a little bit of perfume on it, then clean it with their hair. I'd be lucky to get them to stand this far away and use a garden hose. Okay? But my feet are fully enclosed. Jesus wore sandals. Now it was probably they washed their feet when they entered a house. A little bit of water or whatever. But she anointed him with perfume and wiped it with her hair. But what did it do to the whole house? This is the power of Jesus. What did it do to the whole house? It filled the whole house with fragrance. That's pretty cool. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Think about that. Jesus asked us to do simple things. Simple things. Does he ask anybody here to give up a year's wage? It's a tough pill to swallow. This woman does it willingly. Willingly. And the disciples are bamboozled by it. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Guys, Judas was crooked. You know what? Jesus loved him anyway. It all came down to the bottom line for Judas. Even the betrayal, it wasn't, oh, I can't do that. I have walked miles with Jesus. I have been there for Jesus. Jesus has been there for me. I've seen him do miracles. It was, okay, 30 pieces of silver. Judas was all about the bottom line. Why is that important? That's because we all have sin in our lives. And we all walk with Jesus. We don't deserve to walk with Jesus. We get to walk with Jesus. That's why I say we need to walk with Jesus triumphantly. Jesus came in triumphantly and he left more powerfully than anybody could have ever left the earth. But we can't get excited. We can't have some swagger that we walk with Jesus. Guys, that's something we got to get excited about. It's something that we have got to understand. We already know who wins. And we'll get into that next week, I'm sure. Because when the game was on the line, Jesus died. That wasn't the end of the game. That's pretty cool. I love Jesus' response here. In verse 7. Leave her alone. And it doesn't have exclamation points. It doesn't. Like, if that's me, I'm screaming at Judas, leave her alone. I think Jesus said, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Guys, that was just one of the things Jesus did. You can't quantify, is raising Lazarus from the dead, is that better than telling a guy to get up that hasn't walked for years? Is that better than healing a leper? It's all way beyond me. That's how powerful our Lord is. All right, verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Guys, these people were small pictures. They wanted a king for Israel. We got a king for the world. A king for Christianity. We sell Jesus short a lot in our lives. They may have a problem that they just want to handle themselves. They don't think Jesus can handle it. What happens? And that problem snowballs. Problem snowballs. Turn it over. And I know that's easier said than done. But guys, as we deepen ourselves in our relationship with our Lord and Savior, it becomes second nature for us to turn it over to Him. I've shared before, Chris and I had, it's been 15 years ago. Chris and I had some 15, 20 years ago maybe, some financial issues, and long story short, ended up costing us about 3 times what our monthly payment was to get whatever out of foreclosure, what I had a pre-foreclosure, whatever it was. You know why we were in that state? We weren't doing what we were supposed to do with our money, with God's money. And I'm not going to go into a sermon on tithing, but I can tell you, I got my yearly raise this year, 2.5% raise, whether I needed it or not. You know what that equates to per paycheck? $21 for 2 weeks. I don't make that much more money than I made then. But we have way, way, way more because we do what we're supposed to do with the money God gives us. And people will fight me on that and fight me on, I'm just telling you, Chris and I had to come to that realization. And we did. The only thing I don't like about John's account is it says Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. And I really like Matthew's account where he sends the two guys ahead and says, "Hey, here's what they're going to say. Here's what you're going to say. Bring it back to me." Okay? Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. And I was going to have Kelly and Neil bring the donkey in today, and I was going to ride it up. But I thought, no, you know what? That's not going to happen. Number one, Julie's head would have popped off. Number two, I vowed off all donkeys the night of my trip across the field. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things had been written about him and these things had been done to him. Guys, there was times when Jesus told his disciples, "Look, guys, I'm not going to be here forever." It didn't dawn on them. Right? And as a son, man, I feel like my mom and dad's going to be here forever. Right? Oh, I don't need to do that today because there's always next week. There's always tomorrow. Jesus was not going to be here very much longer. And he tried and tried and tried to train and put these disciples in positions and give them understanding of what went on. But it took that donkey, him riding in, to make them realize they had heard this story before. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people spread the word because they heard he had performed this sign, and they went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Guys, the struggle was real for the Pharisees because they were losing their power. And with power comes what? This is bad that I'm saying this about guys who are in charge of the church. But with power comes money, houses, camels, mules, whatever, cars. They were losing their power over the Jews. And they didn't like it. So something as simple as a trip down Main Street on a donkey got the Pharisees all riled up to set this plan in motion. That is how powerful our God and Savior is. Guys, that's why we need to act joyful. We need to act triumphantly at a God and Savior that we serve. Everything's fixed. You know, he created the world in 7 days. He didn't need 7 days. He could have done it all and said, "Hey, be there," and it's there. But it was important that he did it step by step by step by step, because that was the plan. That was God's plan. Do you know God's plan for your life? More importantly, at the end of your life, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? I do. Now, do I want to die tomorrow? No. I enjoy my time here on earth. I enjoy my family. I enjoy this church. I enjoy a lot of things that we do. But you know what? If my time comes, my time comes. Because I know where I'm going. Now, I need to do a better job of being triumphant. What does it look like to be triumphant? And you need to show God's love everywhere you go. And Matt spoke on it before. Lesson spoke on it before. You know, I'm probably not real good at showing God's love. If I was in Les's job, it'd be bad. Number one, there'd be all these crooked nails. And I'd have bruises all over, right? And I would not be very joyful when I keep hitting myself with a hammer. Listen, I've seen Les and Jesse work, and they're joyful. Even when things don't go their way. Les, every house you build, everything comes in on time, right? You never have any issues with... No. They did some work for us, and listen, he went to go pick up, I think he called about picking up cabinets. They said, "Well, we haven't even ordered them yet." Oh! He was joyful about it, I wasn't. And even less joyful than me was my wife. It's hard when you don't have a kitchen. Or, you know, Matt. Listen, I can change brakes on a car. That's about as far as it goes. But I'm sure Matt deals with dumb nuts or dumb bolts that he just can't get off, and that's a headache, right? Or worse, or idiots driving on 71 at 95 miles an hour, or the guy on the motorcycle who's going 200. But guys, we need to be joyful in all we do because of what He did for us. It's not about what we go through here. It's about what He went through for us. And this is going to be a brief one today. But we were singing today And I've told you before, there are certain songs that bring me to tears. On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Understand, this guy was perfect. He died for me. And he was coming into Jerusalem knowing full well that was going to happen. You can't get behind a God or a Savior that knew what he was going to go through. He knew about the throne of the thorns. He knew about the beating he was going to take. He knew he was going to have to drag that cross through the streets and be spit on and be beaten and be punched and be whatever. And he also knew the best thing about, well, I won't say, one of the things that amazed me the most about the crucifixion is he knew that on each side of him was going to be two sinners fully deserving their punishment. You know why he went through it? I contend because he showed us that that very day he went through it because of the one guy that confessed his sins to him on that cross. And what was Jesus' response? I will see you at my Father's right hand. Guys, that's the Lord we serve. So guess what? You're allowed to be excited. You should be excited. I do a terrible job of showing my excitement. We should be excited about the Lord we serve and what he did. And the fact that he rode in a week before and knew all this was going on blows my mind. Anyway, the reason I love this song, The Old Rugged Cross, I know I've spoke about it before. My grandfather didn't read super well, I don't think he sang a lot, but there were certain songs that came up in church, at Bryn Zion Baptist Church, and this was one of them. And as we were sitting here, I quit singing because I can imagine my grandfather singing this song at the top of his lungs. And when it came to where they do the men or the bass or whatever, do the second part, the old rugged cross. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross and then old rugged cross. That was the part he loved to sing. There was about three guys his age in the church that did that. And that was them being triumphant for their Lord. Because this song's really kind of gross when you think about it. Second verse, oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. The dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Third verse, in the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Amen. I don't need to say anything else. Really cool music. Praise band was amazing today. Really cool music. I love the old hymns. We'll probably never go back to straight hymns, but I would love it. Where do I want to go from here? Guys, after Jesus comes into town, he predicts his death to his disciples. He knew the plan. He knew the plan. That week leading up to Easter, there was still some miraculous stuff that he did. One of the things that I don't want you to miss is in chapter 13, I want you to read that homework for this week, for Easter week. The title of it says, Jesus Washes His Disciples' Feet. Even at the very end, when Jesus knew what was coming, He had a servant's heart. He was there to serve His disciples, and they were blown away by that. That is the God we serve. That is a God and a Savior that we should be able to be excited about. Because He did it willingly. He came in as King, knowing what was happening, knowing what was going to happen, and He did it anyway. And guess what? Even when Jesus was riding on that donkey, you know what was going through His mind, I'll bet? He was thinking about me. He was thinking about all you. Because He knew what he was facing. But I guarantee we were still on His mind. We've got to do a better job, guys, of living every single day with His joy. And living every single day with triumph. We've won. We have won. And if you don't understand what I'm telling you, come back next week. All right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, let us come before You, and I thank You for sending Your Son to live blamelessly and sin-free on this earth. Lord, I just thank You that He cared enough about me that He would go through everything He's going to go through and thought about me while He was doing it. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and we give You all the praise and glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. So the praise band is going to be here, the praise team. Les and Jesse and I will be here. Listen, if you have anything on your mind, if you have any prayer needs, if you have healing that needs